you have your Bibles, you can open them with me for a few moments. We'll go wherever the Lord wants us to go and be done. I'm reading from Judges chapter 17. I'll begin reading with verse 6, Judges chapter 17. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's a dangerous time in a nation when everybody does what was right and we don't have a king named Jesus. And now there was a young man from Bethlehem in Judea. Where's he from? Bethlehem. Of the family of Judah. Notice it mentions his family. He was a Levite, which means he's in the lineage of priests. And he started staying there. And the man departed from the city of Bethlehem of Judea to stay wherever they could find a place. And then he came to the mountains of Ephraim and the house of Micah as he journeyed, or some translations say sojourned. It's an interesting word. And Micah said to him, "Where do you come from?" She said to him, "I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Judea. And I'm on my way somewhere else," is what he's saying, "to find a place to stay." Micah said to him, "Dwell with me. Dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me, and I will give you 10 shekels of silver per year, a suit of clothes and your substance, shelter, food." So the Levite went in. The Levite, notice the big word, was content. He was content to dwell with the man. And the young man became like one of his sons to him. So Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became the priest and lived in the house of Micah. Then Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since I have a Levite as a priest." You read the next chapter, and he set up an idol in his house, started worshiping it. And he said, "It'll be all right. It'll be all right. I've got me a hired priest. It doesn't matter how I worship, who I worship, what I worship. I can worship idols. I have hired me a priest from Bethlehem, Judea. I'm going to give you 10 shekels of silver. I'm going to give you a suit," Micah said. "I'm going to give you security. I'm going to give you everything you need to be content." I'll tell you what I'm going to preach on in just a moment, but in that moment, this man had to make a decision. Was he going to basically sell out his faith that he knew was right to worship another God for contentment, for security, for 10 shekels of silver per year, a change of clothes? And in some Bibles, it says over that section, when the priest became a professional. And I'm preaching today on, I refuse to be a professional, because we're New Testament priests. You are and I am. You think the preacher's the only one that's a priest, but the Bible said in the book of Revelation, we're all kings and priests unto our God. And sooner or later, you're going to have to make the same decision that this young man had to make. Who are you going to serve, and who are you going to love? And is your faith in God, are you a professional? Meaning, when I say professional, I don't mean that he was a cut above like a professional athlete. In that moment, he decided it would become a profession for him, not a passion. It would become a job for him, not a joy. It would become a life, not the life. It would become something that was taught, but it would not be really, really treasured all week long. You'd come hear a little teaching and then go back and forget about it. And every Christian, we're living in a defining time where playing church is over. And if you're for sale and the enemy can make you content, he will make you a bargain and you can become a lukewarm Christian if you want to. Micah hired a professional and I'm afraid that many in ministry have become professional singers, professional preachers. I just want to proclaim today I am not a professional. I do not know what I'm doing half the time when I get behind the pulpit. I'm scared to death. My stomach still goes in knots. Sometimes I feel like I'm going to throw up before I ever get up here. I'm terrified sometimes because God doesn't even speak to me what direction I'm going till I have a microphone in my hand. I am not a professional, and I don't ever want to become. I'm not against training. I study. I pray. I seek. I do all that. But I guess what I'm trying to say is we don't need a bunch of performers in a critical hour like this. We don't need people who can say it, but they don't live it. We don't need people who can talk it, but there's no passion. Head is speaking, but you people need to hear what is in your heart. I don't want to hear her sing. I want to hear the song that's in her heart. And when it comes from her heart, it's irresistible. Are you one of those Christians that's become a professional Christian? You do your duty. You become content. Where's the passion? Where's the longing? Where's the yearning? Where's that move of God that matters more than silver or gold? I'm a blessed man. God has blessed me mightily. But I can tell you, I am not a professional. I don't care how blessed I get. I can't trade out. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather, and I don't know if you have to choose sometimes, but I do believe your heart has to be wholly committed to Jesus Christ, and then he can trust you. Very important that you not become a professional. It's very important that you don't just go through rituals in your religion. We make fun of other denominations and their rituals, but we're just as ritual-oriented in churches like this. When's the last time God broke you loose? When's the last time your tears were streaming down your face? I don't care who you are, because you were so overwhelmed at the fact that God is so good and so precious and so mighty that the world can't give it and the world can't take it away. Everybody give him a hand clap of praise, and I'll... Notice that this young man was from Bethlehem, Judea. And he decided to journey or sojourn away from that in the opposite direction. He came from Bethlehem, Judea, little tiny, little country bumpkin, little town in Israel. Those poor, ignorant people who worship God, they look at them, look at them. They don't have nothing. They don't know the big lights of Sodom and Gomorrah. They don't know all the world has to offer. Look at that little dinky place called Bethlehem, Judea. It's a picture of the church, and it's a picture of a generation of kids that have been raised in the church. And then they decide to journey down another path, because I'm tired of that life. I don't want that life. And you've taken it for granted is the truth. I've preached long enough to see this thing go full circle. I've seen people be in church, raised in church, leave, go out, go off to university, party, live it up. Always sin leaves you in shambles. Always sin leaves you broken. Always sin takes more than you want to give. Always it ends up so, so dark. And I've seen them come back home, and I've seen them, and they're even in this room here today, and they can say, truly, I didn't really appreciate where I came from. I just want to preach that Bethlehem, Judea is still a wonderful place to be from. I'm so glad I was raised in church. I'm so glad that I came up in church. I'm so glad that I was taught little songs from my childhood, the B-I-B-L-E. I'm so glad my mom and my daddy raised me in church. We went to church on Sunday morning. We went to church on Sunday night. We went to church on Wednesday night. We went to prayer meeting. We went to this. We went choir practice. I didn't know how to play no musical instruments. I got in the choir. I had to learn musical instruments in church. Everything about my life, I am nothing but old church boy. I'm from Bethlehem, Judah, which means praise. And I'm telling you, if you've been raised that way and you're listening to me preach right now, you've been raised in this thing, you are ruined. Go on out, go to your university, let some godless professor tell you that the Bible's a lie and God isn't real and how ignorant those people are. But I want to proclaim Bethlehem, Judea is a blessing. If you've been raised by Christian parents, you got a granny who knows how to pray, it's not a curse, it's a blessing. I believe this boy was saying, I can't wait till I get 18. I can't wait till I get out of this old dumb religious mess over here. Can't do this, can't do that. I'm going to go out. I'm going to do everything I want to do. Preaching better than y'all letting on. It's still a good place. Ooh, we all shout right there a minute. It's still in times like these. I'm glad I got one stable thing in my life. If I can just get to the house of God, if I can bring all my mess and all my problems and all my burdens, and I can get in the presence of Jehovah, He wipes my tears away. He picks me back up. He says, you can do all things through me. Get up and try again. And you can walk out of this place saying, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Take a praise break wherever you are and give God some glory for Bethlehem, Judea, the church. Every step you take away from God is a step down. Jonah stepped down from Joppa to Tarshish. He went down. And then the Bible said he went down into the ship. He went down. And then he went down into the ocean. He went down. And then he took another step and went down into the fish's belly. Down, 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 down. Every step you take away from the church, every step you take away from the faith of your father or your mother or whoever had faith in your family, every step you take in the opposite direction of what you know what they had, you know they had a walk with God, every step you take away from that. Because culture will curse it. Culture will tell you you're crazy. I believe that this priest was like the modern ministry today. Probably had a rainbow flag outside the church. A hired gun. Just say what we want you to say. Don't say what we don't want you to say. If you don't know by now, this ain't that church. We just want to say what the Lord says. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about what does this book say? This book says, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, blankety blank, blankety blank. Thou shalt not go into a drugstore and take up to $999 and run out with it in the street. As long as you don't take $1,000, you can't be arrested. What have we come to? This is a generation that has lost its way. There's nothing good to come from going in a different direction away from Bethlehem, Judea. He had an amazing family. This young man had an amazing family that loved God. He had deep roots and heritage. And he walked away from it for a new faith, a new religion. Let me try crystals. Let me try, you know, there's good witchcraft and bad witchcraft. So let me try the good one. Yeah, you started off good. It may be fun, but there's a demon waiting. There's a demon waiting. Go to your psychics, go to your new religions, try Buddha, try Allah, try them all. And I'm telling you, we're living in a time where we need to say again, the fact that there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of children on the lower level of this building having their brain indoctrinated with the Bible and the Word of God. And I've been telling our team, I want to go back to old school. I want Bible memorization. I want them to know the books of the Bible. I want them to be able to quote the scripture left and right. I said, I want them to win big prizes. I want them, when they graduate from high school, if they can quote the books of the Bible and everything else, we can get them a scholarship. We can send them to a Bible school or some good college. We're not going to send them to some woke place where they're told God isn't real and mock everything that's ever good in our society. Oh, come on and help me preach just a minute. We got to get it back. We got to get it in our children. Deuteronomy 6, talk about it in the morning. Talk about it in the afternoon. Talk about it in the house. Talk about it in the car. Talk about it all day long. Pray Jesus. Speak Jesus. Lift up Jesus. This casual Christianity, being a professional Christian. Come on, kids, get in the church. Hurry up. And when we get over, let's get out of here. And then it's right back. Turn the radio on to blankety blank, boom, 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 blankety blank. What is wrong with us? He's a holy God. He deserves our whole heart. I know. But see, this is what you don't know. I've been doing this a long time, and I've watched the little nicey-nicey church. I'm tired of nicey-nicey Pee-wee Herman Christians. We need a revival. We need young people to see the glory of God. We need the Holy Ghost to fall on the house until they are filled with the Spirit and so filled with the vision of God for their life that culture can't turn them around. I'm almost done. I've wrecked this sermon. It's not even in there. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I want to know, are there any Christians listening to me who refuse to be a professional? I want passion. I want fire. I want anointing. I want love for God above all. I don't like my family. I don't like my family I was born into. I don't like the church I was born into. I don't like that old mess. I don't like my daddy telling me my mommy. Thank God you got a daddy and a mommy. You are a rare thing. He turns off the road. He says, I want my bucket list. I'm gonna party so much. I'm gonna sleep with every girl I want to sleep with. I'm going to drink till I'm drunk. I'm going to get high. I'm going to do it all. And then on Sunday, I'm going to light a little something another and walk in there and for an idol. And I'm going to just act real religious. I'll be a professional. I'm a career guy. And that's what we've reduced Christianity to. I'm not mad. I'm not mean. I'm a nice guy. Just telling you the truth today, because we're all headed into eternity here. It's kind of important that we not be deceived in the last days over 10 shekels of silver. Some cool clothes. Care what kind of tennis shoes you got. What good is that going to do you when you stand before an awesome God? The prodigal son, I wish I could tell you that, you know, if you go out and you start going in that other way, that you won't get the stuff you don't want. You'll get your bucket list probably. The prodigal son, look at him. He got the friends, the popular friends. You'll be popular. He got the friends, but he didn't keep the friends, did he? He got to go to exciting places. Not that old boring Bethlehem Judea. I speak Jesus stuff. I want some excitement. He got it. He got the friends, the popularity, but he didn't keep it. He got the places, but he didn't keep it. He got the money, but he didn't keep it. Because sin takes and takes and takes. You know, they did a study of super wealthy families that I read about not too long ago, and they said that usually wealth in a family doesn't last but 3 generations. Because what starts out as a passion then becomes, I kind of like it. I kind of like it. And then by the 3rd generation, it's dead, cold, and dead. Same is true in our walk with God. It's a passion when we first get started. And if we don't watch it, the children just kind of, I kind of like it. And then the next generation of grandchildren are like, I don't even want to go. I don't care nothing about that. That's why, do you understand what I'm preaching? Look at Harvard University. Started out with great passion for Christ. It was a religious Christian college that had one purpose in their mission statement, to raise up preachers to spread the gospel over New England. That was the mission statement of Harvard University. And then it's kind of important. And now faith, dead and cold. Is that happening in your family? Is that happening in generation after generation? I want to get away from all the restrictions and the requirements and the spiritual warfare. I don't like all this. I won't. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I just want to be normal. But here's the problem. Normal has changed. The new normal, I don't recognize the nation I'm in. I don't recognize the world I'm in. I don't. How in the world can pedophiles be teaching children and getting up in drag, dancing in front of children, parading down the streets half naked? How can we not say in our minds, this is perversion? But the church is professionals. You're going to hurt my career. Hey, preacher, I might get talked about if I go to a church like that. Well, you're going to have to choose in the last days. I'm not talking about I'm mad or ugly or being mean to people, but you're going to have to choose in the last days. Are you going to be a real Christian? Or are you going to be a professional? Are you going to be a professional that just kind of goes through the routine? Or are you going to be someone who's on fire for God that says, I am going to be ready when the trumpet sounds? I'm almost done. The Levite said, I just want to be normal. I remember my parents were pretty strict, and I remember I remember thinking that thought. I thought about it when in this message. You know, like, I remember having those thoughts. I wish my parents weren't, you know, why can't they be like other parents? They buy the keg. Why can't I have normal parents? Why do my parents have to always push Jesus, 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 Jesus? Because they're saved. Let's be honest. I'm tired of, can you tell I'm tired of apologizing for the gospel? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. I love this book. I love it. I love the do's, I love the don'ts, I love the thou shalt be blessed, and I love the thou shalt not touch. What is wrong with you, Pastor? I don't know, but I'm not a professional. Bless God, I still will shout at the drop of a hat, and I'll drop the hat. God has been too good to this boy. He has brought me too far to become a professional worshiper. Praise the Lord. I'm meditating in my heart. Give me 100 fanatics. Clap your hands and praise God. Give me 100 dads. Give me 100 moms who are thankful that they're from Bethlehem. Judah! Judah! That stuff gets in you. That stuff, you can't shake it off. You will never be normal. Sit down a minute. I'm almost done. And when it's time for him to come out, he'll come. I've got 3 more minutes, and I'm going to take all 3. You know what the Bible said about him? He was content. But you know what the Bible said about us? The Bible said in the book of Exodus, chapter 2, that Moses was no ordinary child. We want to be normal, but Moses was no ordinary child. If you've got the touch of God in your family, if you've got people, parents, grandparents, someone in your family who honors God, I hate to break the news to you, darling, but you will never fit in with the rest of the crowd like you want to. You are messed up. They get high and they see pink elephants. You get high and you see the four horses of the apocalypse. They get high and they see psychedelic colors. You get high and drunk and you start crying about, I wonder if the rapture's fixing to take place. Why are you thinking about that? You see Moses and Elijah, they see mushroom trips, and you try mushroom, and you see the Old Testament, the New Testament, and Jesus riding on a white horse. Oh, this stuff works. I want every parent to shout, it works. They can try to go a different route, but if you've ever got a seed in that child, God's going to bring them home. Woo! Somebody shout with me. This is part of it. It's not just the preaching, it's the shouting. Hey, it's going to be all right. It is well with my family. It is well with my children. It is well with my grandchildren. It's going to be all right. He's got him in his hand. Oh, hallelujah. We are not to be normal and ordinary. You are a peculiar people. A little weird. Weird is back. Hallelujah. 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 Anybody not ashamed of the Holy Ghost? and talking in tongues. Anybody not ashamed of the gifts of the Spirit? Anybody not ashamed of prophecy, prophecy, prophecy? I'm tired of the witches and the demons and the false prophets getting all the attention. We need a move of the Holy Spirit in our lives again. Not professionals. Professionals. Abraham Lincoln said, I like to see a preacher preach like he's fighting a swarm of bees. Well, I pretty much fit that description today, Abraham. Do you love him? Do you love him? Or are you a professional? Have you just learned how to do this? It's learned. Where's the passion? Where's the prayer? You can stand. I offer you more in Sunday morning religion today. If you're running from God, if you're more worried about getting out of the parking lot than you are your soul and your family, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Jesus did not bleed and die and carry a cross to play church. Every now and then, we need to do a heart check. We need to say what David said, search me and try me. See if there's wickedness in me. I want to announce today that I refuse to be a professional Christian and professional preacher. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Softly and tenderly, Jesus, He's calling. Calling for you and for me. See at the portals, He's looking for prodigal sons. He's watching, He's waiting. Calling, oh sinner, come home, come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Softly, tenderly, Jesus, one more time He's calling, calling, oh sinner, because that's what you are and that's what I am, come home. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And all of our campuses, wherever you're watching me, in overflow, whoever you are. The presence of the Lord is in this place. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to turn to Him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. This halfway stuff doesn't work. What are you going to sell out to Jesus for? 10 shekels a suit and some contentment and normalcy. I'd rather fight devils and demons all the way to glory than have a peaceful, easy ride to hell. I can't do what I do. I don't think these people can do what they do. It takes the touch of God, and it'll take that as a parent. It'll take that as a businessman. It'll take that as a young person. You need the touch of God on your life. Do you hear me? It's not by might or power. Your ingenuity, your mind, your talent, your gift, that's great, but it's not enough. It takes the touch of God, the hand of God. And it's available, a nail-scarred hand reaching for you this morning. If you're lost, if you're backslidden, if you know you're in sin, if you need a change in your life, Pastor, I know I'm not right with God and I need to get right. Pray for me. If that's you, boldly lift your hand as high as you can get it under the sound of my voice at every campus. Do it high and lift it up and unashamed. Hands, 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 hands. Great, 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 great. Every one of you that have your hand, I like to do this. I like old-fashioned altar calls. Get out of your seat. Walk down the aisle. Don't do it in a corner. Don't do it just where you are. There's something that breaks off of people I've found when they get out and they humble. There's a big word. Humble yourself. Here they come. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. The pastors are coming at every campus, but come on. Come on, come on, come on, come home, come home, come home, come home, come home. You're weary. Sin will make you weary. Sin will make you want to just end it. Sin will show you darkness. Sin thrills and then it kills. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, they're coming, they're coming. Clap your hands, church. Clap your hands, church. Chains are breaking. Chains are breaking. Chains are breaking. Chains right now. Right now, they're going to sing it one more time. And you're sitting, standing there. And the Lord says, move. The water is troubled. Move. Get out of your seat and humble yourself. Walk down that aisle and watch God show you who He is. Ye who are weary. You've tried it. It left you empty and broken. So sweet and tender, Jesus is calling a sinner. If you're watching me by television, you don't even know why you're watching. And you're a backslid preacher's kid. You used to sing in the choir. It's been years and years. I see you sitting in a chair. And you've strayed so far and you can't believe how far you've gone, but God loves you. Jesus died for you. And this is your moment to come home. And I could count on one hand the times I've stopped a live service for somebody watching by television, but when I bowed my head, the Lord showed me a TV set and He showed me a person, a man, sitting in front of that TV set. And the Lord says, this is the day of salvation for you. Somebody in your family, they may not even be alive, but somebody in your family got a prayer through. And that's the only reason you're still alive. And it's time to come home. Dial the number that's on the screen. Somebody will be waiting to pray with you right now. Everybody in this room, everybody who's come forward, everybody under the sound of my voice, this is a moment of great destiny for your life. There's an angel that will write your name in the book of life if you pray this and mean it. And I know you do because you came forward. So let's pray together, everybody. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender. I've journeyed in the wrong direction. I'm so sorry. I need you. I want to put you in your rightful place. I receive forgiveness. I receive total cleansing. You said, I, even I, will blot out your transgressions to remember them no more. Thank you for a brand new beginning. I'm free. I'm washed. I'm cleansed. In the name of Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Show me who you are and let me walk in truth. In the mighty name of Jesus. Say that. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, the first words in your new life ought to be, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not a professional.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Your prayers and financial support make these programs possible. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.